sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting here with Becky Ivins, who is, well, just getting into the chair because we're dealing with a technical difficulty.
Been crawling under the counter, trying to plug things in. Well, good morning, everybody. I don't want to waste any time because we have got the headliner from the OKC Home and Outdoor Living Show with us here today, and that is Linda Vauter. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda. We're great to have you here this week. And I'm really excited about this because this is a subject that I get asked about when showing houses all the time,
about
gardening and plants. And I am a blank slate ready to learn is the way I would put it.
Well, I'm here to help.
You made a comment earlier today that said, if you can garden in Oklahoma, you can garden anywhere. And I'm thinking, well, that's the trouble. It's not me. It's not Oklahoma.
Yeah, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally.
So I feel that way. Right out of college, I moved down to Florida for a couple years. And it felt like anything you put in the ground in Florida just lived.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
But here, my home. I feel like anything I put in the ground dies.
It's a different story. I did the Home and Garden Show in Indianapolis last week, and I said it's just not fair. They can just drop a seed and spit on it, and it will germinate and it will grow. And in Oklahoma, we just have so many more challenges, not just weather challenges, but also the quality of our soil and our high winds and our, you know, extreme temperatures that get more extreme, it seems, every year. And so it's really important that we just stay on top of and be very, very observant of what actually works and maybe avoid those things that don't work and just literally don't want to live in Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a nursery up in I think it's near Stillwater that.
Oh, yeah, Bustani.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they go collecting plants that are good for hot, extreme weathers.
Yes.
Which we have. It's hard to get the little tender plants to survive here.
Yeah, I've often kiddingly said, but not really, that there's only two seasons in Oklahoma. There's before the heat and there's after the heat. And we have a small window of time in which we can do our planting and really try to get things established so that they flourish. But yeah, Steve Owens up in near Stillwater, he just does a great job using, he sells lots of native plants. He uses and sells lots of plants that are in areas that grow very, very similar in situation as ours. So it kind of behooves us to look for those kind of plants. But I think the mistake that a lot of us make initially as kind of newbie gardeners is that we don't take into account something that I am talking about at the show today, and that's good garden fit. You know, how does what you plant fit into the geography of where you live, the context of your home, you know, your neighborhood? Do you live in an urban area like I do or out on a farm? What direction does your home face? All of those kinds of things inform how you execute your landscape plan. And if you don't do the homework at the front end, then you'll be really frustrated and spend a lot of money needlessly, and it just won't be a successful experience for you.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some specific plants that do well in Oklahoma.
Okay.
I've always had a north-facing house.
Right.
For some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so the front yard, I want to look pretty. The backyard always looks pretty because it gets the south sun.
Right.
But my last couple of houses have been facing either northwest or northeast. Yeah. So you get fooled. You can't use the Japanese yews.
Right.
Because they can't tolerate the sun that they get for that few hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I think sometimes finding the right plant that can do it all is very, very difficult. And sometimes it just requires experience. So what I tell people when they ask me about these kind of situations, I'll say, well, drive around in your neighborhood. Or drive around and look at homes that have the same orientation that yours does in a similar environment in terms of shade or sun and soil, and see what thrives in those areas. And if it works there, it'll probably work in the context of your own home. But a lot of it, too, is just, you know, are you doing your due diligence on the front end? Is it dying because it's not adapted to that space, or because you just haven't provided the right environment for it? You haven't dug the hole big enough. You don't water it consistently. You're not observant on almost a daily basis to see if there are pest issues. And so those are the kinds of things. I know everyone wants to have a low-maintenance garden, but that doesn't mean that you in no way interact with your garden spaces. If you're going to make a commitment to a landscape, however large or however small, you have to really commit to it. You have to spend time with that garden. You have to interact with that garden if you want it to be a meaningful relationship.
That just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it really
because
does.
The only thing I seem to be able to grow well are my herbs and my vegetables that I grow because I eat those. I do check on those every day.
Yeah, you make sure they've got enough water. And the other thing is you're planting things that are pleasant for you to interact with. You know, gardening isn't just a hobby. It's not just going out there and plopping something in the dirt because you just feel like you need to beautify your home. Gardening should be experiential. It should be sensual. You should really enjoy interacting with your plants in a very loving and meaningful way. So you like growing your herbs because you go out there and they're fragrant and they're tactile. You know, you run your hand over the rosemary branch and then you have that scent of rosemary throughout the course of the day. It makes a contribution to your life in many ways. It enhances the quality of your life because you can not only experience it in the garden, you can bring it into your kitchen and you can experience it that way. And it becomes really a gift. Gardening is a gift, not just to the gardener, but to our families, to our communities, and to our you know, wider worldwide family at large. You know, I've got a YouTube channel and I have made friends around the world. Because we have this mutual conversation about something we are passionate about.
You know, you mentioned the rosemary. Mm-hmm. My son he's military, and he lived in Arizona years ago, but they had the most enormous rosemary bushes in their backyard.
Yeah.
And it's nice that rosemary's an evergreen.
But
he had two dogs. And those dogs frolicked through that rosemary.
Uh-huh.
And when his dogs came in the house, it smelled wonderful. But
well,
it smelled like rosemary.
And they didn't kill it. And hopefully they didn't pee on it.
So. Well, who knows? Yeah, always choose your rosemary from the top of the bush, right?
Yes. That is wisdom, gardening wisdom.
If I could find a way to frolic in rosemary, I would do it.
I love
me some rosemary. If you want to join the conversation today, you can call in. The number to call in is 405-840-1000, 840-1000. We're here with Linda Vodder. She is the headliner at the Oklahoma Home and Outdoor Living, am I saying it correctly, show?
I believe it is.
We'll be right back with more right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are here with our special guest, Linda Vodder, who is the headliner at the Oklahoma City Home and Outdoor Living Show this week. And if you want to call in, join the conversation, have a question about gardening in Oklahoma, the number to call in is 405-840-1000.
Okay, Linda, I just kind of question, I mean, how did you get started in this?
Well, you know, houseplants are huge right now. And I was, you know, a child of the 70s. when houseplants were also huge. So I have often said that my gateway drug to gardening was through houseplants.
Wow.
And I started loving and nurturing them. I can remember even in my college dorm room, I would play with my plants, and I realized just what a source of joy and passion that it became. And so that eventually I needed a broader canvas upon which to express my obsession. And so I started gardening outside.
So do you do like vegetable or fruit or anything like that, or is it just
flowers?
Oh, no,
it's both. In fact, I wrote a book called The Elegant and Edible Garden about plants that I call edimentals that are both edible and ornamental. And you can kind of, you know, the lines are blurring between what is strictly a vegetable garden and what are ornamentals. And so particularly if you have a smaller landscape, you can definitely incorporate, you know, you can incorporate both. And the farm to table movement, gosh, it's just huge now. So any way that you can incorporate those two loves, you know, food and gardening, that's a great thing.
How much space does it take to do gardening?
Oh, my goodness. You can garden on any scale. My son and daughter-in-law live in Singapore, and they live in a condo there, and the only place that they can garden is on their balcony. And they do it very effectively. They do it very passionately. And so you really can't – just don't restrict your idea of what a garden is. A garden can be anything you make it on whatever scale.
Okay. Well, if someone wanted to find you on social media, where do they go?
Gosh, if you just Google my name, more stuff than you ever wanted to know will come up. But you can find me primarily on YouTube. Just like I say, just search Linda Vater, V-A-T-E-R. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me periodically on as the Garden Guru on Channel 4 on KFOR. I put out a newsletter. I do lots of public speaking. For a while, I had a product line on QVC. So I kind of cover a lot of territory, and in addition, literally, I think thousands of people go by my home every year. They drive by, they come from out of state, and right now it's particularly popular because there's about 1,000 tulips in bloom in the front yard.
Oh, do you give out your address?
I don't have to give it out because it's easily discovered. Let's put it that way. And I live on a corner. I've always lived and gardened in historic neighborhoods. I live in Mesta Park, right near Heritage Hills. And prior to that, I lived in Crown Heights. I love historic neighborhoods. And they tend to be urban. And so because of that, there's just lots of pedestrian traffic, lots of drive-by. It's just kind of on it. What I particularly love, and one of the reasons I bought the house, this is kind of, a real estate thing, is because it is just on the straightaway to a great public school down the street. And so I can just hear the kids walking to school in the morning and walking home, and it just enhances my life on a daily basis now that my kids are up and grown.
Now that you say Mesta Park, I think I know where you live.
You're going to be another stalker.
All the tulips, like, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Gallardia is an upscale neighborhood here.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
On the northwest side, and they plant tulips.
Oh, yes.
That poke up through their pansies.
Oh, yeah. It's
that
gorgeous.
That are just beautiful every year.
Right, yeah. And you know the big tip about planting tulips?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, there's several tips. Number one, you plant them in moss, which means a bunch of them. You know, a little five tulips ain't going to do much. But you plant 500 tulips, and it really makes a statement. And you also don't plant them, you know, one at a time with that little tulip thing, you know, that little bulb planter.
Yes.
That, you know, that'll give you osteoarthritis immediately. Yeah, no, you plant, just take big holes. And within each hole, you plant 25 to 50. And in short order, you can plant hundreds of bulbs. And on my channel, I share lots of bulb sources that you can buy them online in blends that bloom over a really long period of time. You know, not just one-shot wonders that are gone in one, you know, in a hot, windy week in Oklahoma. You plant different varieties that bloom over a period of time. And so you have this beautiful protracted show that for me started at the beginning of March and will go all the way through into the first of April.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tulips are beautiful, but they are short-lived usually.
Yes. That's why you need to know tulip tips. I'm known as the tulip whisperer because I plant so many and they give me such joy.
Cool. What time are you going to be on the stage at the OKC Home and Outdoor Living
Show? I'm going to be there at noon today, and I'll be there a little bit early and a little bit after. I not only have a book called The Elegant and Edible Garden, but I also just recently published a 5-year garden journal, and I will have those there for sale. I will be signing books. Lots of people have wanted to get their picture taken with me. And so I'll be there a little bit early, and I'll definitely be there afterwards to visit with folks and just share our passion.
Awesome.
One of the things I love about your YouTube, you have kind of a some longer videos that are basically like garden along with me.
Right.
Like basically you're looking over your shoulder as you garden.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant because it used to be how gardening used to be taught, which was, you know, from parent or friend
your
or
grandparents
neighbor.
Me.
Yeah. So I mean, what is the biggest thing you feel like the newest person needs to know when they're following you?
Well, I think what the newbie gardener needs to know is if you are not failing, you're not trying hard enough. Because it's all about...
Well, I'm trying very hard.
You're trying very hard. Well, people often say, you know, I often tell people I don't want in any way to give the impression that I am formally trained or anything. And I think that gives me street cred because I learned just... through the school of heartache and hard knocks, not through any formal training. I'm a self-taught gardener. I've made every mistake in the book. And what I try to do as people garden along with me is I not only share my successes, but I share my agonies as well. And in that way, I can kind of flatten the learning curve for new gardeners and experienced gardeners alike, or people who have moved from Florida to Oklahoma and they don't know how to garden here. And any time that you can help somebody get a little bit further along that learning curve and have a little bit more success on the front end, then that motivates you. You know, there's nothing like a taste of success to motivate you to do it more and to do it better. And I mean, what a gift gardening is, you know, just to everyone. And in this, I often say, in this very contentious environment we've got right now, we can all come together over whatever is killing our rose or whatever, you know, or whatever the best tomato is to plant. We can come together over that mutual language of gardening, regardless of where we stand on the political spectrum, because we have, it's very primal, it's very visceral, and we all have that in common.
What tomato should you plant? What is the best tomato to plant? Yeah, I'm going to have to be there on the front row today at noon, right?
Right. Well, I think, you know, it may be kind of I'm taking an out, but people ask me very, very specific questions, which are sometimes difficult for me to answer. And I say, do what I do when I don't know a gardening, you know, the answer to a gardening challenge or a gardening question. And I say, Google it. You know, best tomato, Oklahoma, you know, cherry tomato or, you know, and you just put in those keywords and you have expert advice immediately. And that advice is changing daily. You know, remember everything that was on the recommended tree planting list 10 years ago is not on it this year.
Right. I love your passion about this. It is contagious. We have on the line someone who's passionate about mortgages is our money man, Dean Riddell.
NMLS number 196-895.
Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
Hey, Dean, what's our rates running today?
you know, Becky in that six and three quarters, 6 7/8 is kind of the hot number, and it's trending downward slightly, but that's what rates look like today.
Okay. And you're still there's a down payment assistance thing going on here for realtors and mortgage bankers.
Yeah, I think that comes up first week in April, doesn't it?
So it's talking about down payment assistance and the various types of assistance. My team's going to go to that. And are you still doing to where you can lower your interest as low as even 3%?
See, on
three
the
and
down
three quarters?
Payment, well, rate-wise, well, you, by doing that, like a 2-1 buy-down, 3-2-1 buy-down, you can go as low as 3 or in the 3s or 3.5. But if you're talking about that down payment assistance, you know, we use Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency's program faithfully, regularly, that provides 3.5% assistance. And I'll tell you a fun story real quick on that is we got a VA buyer right now. And Becky, you know, a VA buyer has no down payment, right?
Right.
And we're using 3.5%.
I'm going to have you hold that story.
Yeah.
And because we're up against a hard break. We want to thank Linda Vauder for coming in. You guys go see her at noon today at the OKC Home and Outdoor Living Show.
We'll be right back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins. And on the line, we have Dean Riddell. Oh, Dean Riddell's off the line. Oh, well, our VA story is.
We'll get a VA story.
We'll get a
next
VA
week,
story
maybe.
With that.
Yeah. Well, do you know, Mark, last week someone called in wanting to know, we only had a couple minutes, and wanting to know about the NAR lawsuit and the big $416 million settlement. And you can't cover that in 2 minutes.
Right.
In fact, I mean, and I understand what it's about. What I don't understand is the legal stuff behind it.
Right.
And as my attorney, Ron Shalott, says, well, it really hasn't been ratified by the court yet. So it's not a done deal.
Yeah, it was interesting. And I'm getting asked about it a lot. So I'm glad that Ron Shalott's is here with us and is going to be on and kind of explaining where it's at, because I think part of the news about this that's been promoted is a little bit off, a little bit like it's not resolved yet. It's still being played out. And the implications certainly have not been played out.
Right. So, good morning, Ron Shalott, and thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to find out all about flowers in Oklahoma.
Yes. Yeah. No kidding.
Linda Vauder was as absolutely phenomenal in her knowledge of that. And if that is ringing a bell for you, boy, follow her YouTube channel. It's pretty, pretty good.
My lovely wife was listening attentively.
Oh, there you go.
Now she's turned it off because I'm on. So she hears me all the time.
She's heard what you're saying, right?
Well, she's not really excited about this part of it, put it that way.
Well, realtors aren't real excited about this. The media has done what I consider a very poor job of describing exactly what this lawsuit's about and the ramifications and what's expected going forward. So I'm turning it over to you, Ron Shalott.
Well, first off, I'm not involved in the case. I'm not on either side, so I don't have any intimate knowledge other than what I've been able to find out about it. I was aware of it. Basically, it is trade groups, and especially the National Association of Realtors, that's the one everybody's kind of heard about now, were involved in several lawsuits over the forced splitting of commissions and the percentage amount that was required when you had a buyer and a seller compete into a transaction. So you had a lot of litigation going on. There were some settlements already. The National Association of Realtors, who did not prevail on a case, part of their case, decided that they were going to resolve it, settle it for all the cases. And that's what's called a class action settlement, because it's not just one individual, one plaintiff, but it's an individual or a group of individuals who then represent a whole bunch of other people, called a class action. That's a class. So you have this settlement, and that's what came up. It seemed to surprise a lot of people, and therefore it's made the news because it's a large dollar amount. It involves some potential changes. But will those changes really have any effect is the big question, and I'm reading a lot of different things about it. And I've got some opinions, but I might keep those to myself. So anyway, we've got this settlement involved with the National Association of Realtors. It did not settle for all the defendants. There still are other defendants. For example, excluded was Home Services of America, and then employees of other defendants who are huge realtors are still on the hook on this particular case.
Okay, so the crux of it is when you have the multiple listing service, the MLS,
right,
when you enter a listing into the MLS, you have to offer a co-broke either a dollar amount or a percentage of the sales price.
Right, and the way you look at that is, you know what a broker is, okay? So you have the broker representing the seller, who's going to list it. And then usually you've got a broker representing the buyer. Not always, but many times you do.
And in many states, they actually do represent. In Oklahoma, they changed it to where we really don't represent anybody. We call it law of agency is gone. But we have fiduciary responsibilities at times. But we provide services usually for one party or the other, being the buyer or the seller.
Right. And that's the same way it was with lawyers long time ago. Lawyers a lot of times could represent like both sides in a divorce case or a joint in a will, things like that. And you can't do a lot of that nowadays. We've come to learn that you cannot represent both parties and then treat both parties fairly, because somebody is going to get hurt by it. In Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission has its listing agreement, as you're aware of it. And in there is a percentage the seller agrees to pay a commission equal to, and then it's got a line. There's no preset line in the Oklahoma. In the same way with the buyer broker service agreement, you know, there are blank spaces to fill that kind of thing in. But what was happening is, if you wanted to be on the multi-list, the MLS that everybody looks at to find out properties that are out there, the NAR, National Association of Realtors, was requiring this to be on that multi-list.
Right. You know, our local multi-list, I have two specific instances where I've asked to enter a listing without offering a compensation to the buyer's broker, because that's what the seller insisted upon. But we cannot not put a listing in the MLS without offering a compensation.
And just to make sure everybody's clear on it, what we're talking about is, when you list a property, $300,000, and you have a listing agreement, for example, it's a 6%, which is, seems to be a pretty standard amount for the seller broker. The seller broker then, in listing it, offers to whoever is going to bring a buyer, that broker, a percentage of that. It could be 50%. In other words, 3%. So the listing agent would get 3%, the buyer's agent would get 3% to resolve it. And we'll talk a bit about that as to why that is important to have it.
Well, and, you know, before they computerized our forms, I would always write into my listing agreements, I'm charging, we'll use the 6% example, 6%, 3% to selling broker. And that way the seller knew where the seller's money's going and who they're paying. And some realtors do not give an even split and might list it for 7% and offer 2.5% to the selling broker.
Right.
And that way the seller got to see exactly what was happening with the money, because it's harder to get a realtor to show your property if you offer 2% than if you offered 4%, right?
And that's what we're going to get into a little bit. But to talk about the settlement real fast, The NAR agreed to pay over a four-year period of time $418 million spread out over a four-year period. It's unequal payments. And then they're going to change it to where they will not require that listing percentages to be in the multi-list effective in July. This is not a done deal yet. That's been the agreement between the parties. There are still things that have to be resolved. A court, because it's a class action, a court, and it's a federal court, has to approve the settlement. So that has to be done. The Department of Justice may look into it and see as well. So there are some aspects to it that we are not 100% sure that it's going to actually happen the way it is. Effective in July means they think it's going to take that long before the court will be able to look at and approve a settlement. And when you have a class action, it's a multi-page settlement document. You give notice out to the class to tell them about the class members coming up. If the court approves it or conditionally approves it, then you send notice out to the class members. There's a lot that goes into it, and that's why the lawyers who represent the class usually get a pretty decent amount of money off that settlement.
This moment is always great when Ron Shallott's here. It is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Attorney Ron Shallott, do we have a word of the day?
Well, we've kind of mentioned it. Broker.
Oh, okay.
Well, you guys all know what that means, right?
Right.
Okay, so Mr. Carr, you're our wise expert. He's laughing. Why is he laughing?
Broker in the real estate world means boss.
All right, Ms. Ivins, your turn.
Well, a broker is someone that puts two parties together, brings two parties together for the mutual benefit of both of them is what I would say. What do you do you say, Ron Shallott?
I'm going to read you the definition out of the Oklahoma Broker Relationships Act from the Oklahoma statutes. Broker means a real estate broker. It's always good when they use the word to define the word. A real estate broker, an associated broker associate, sales associate, or a provisional sales associate authorized by a real estate broker to provide brokerage services. What are brokerage services? Means those services provided by a broker to a party in a transaction. What is a party? It's a person who is seller, buyer, landlord, tenant, or a person involved. Transaction is an activity or process to buy, sell, lease, rent, option, or exchange real estate. So there you go.
I think a lawyer wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and a broker supervises the agents that are under that license by the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission.
Right, the broker's licensed.
Right.
That's the licensed person. I always think of that as the real estate agent. You know, that's the old way of my thinking of it, and it's not.
Well, most real estate agents are not brokers.
Right, but that's the way, you know, I always
right.
have thought of it. It's like, you know, all lawyers aren't criminal defense lawyers either. So,
right.
You know, you get
regardless of what you see on TV.
Yeah, really. consequently, you know, a broker is an important distinction to make. And that's what we're looking at here, because it's the brokers who get involved in the contractual relationships between a buyer and seller. And you're looking at, again, whether or not the seller is going to get good service, so they have this percentage that they're going to pay for the work. And I know, Becky, you know, and I know Mark knows too, that when you're listing a property, especially in the olden days pre-COVID, there is a lot of work that goes into it. A lot of time goes into it. And you still do have a lot of time involved in it before you ever see a dime. And it's always a question as to whether you will see a dime or how much. One dime or two. So that's why the listing agreements are important. You're putting a lot of time and effort into it. the flip side and the buyer's side is that the buyer may not even look at your house if they're not pointed to it. Nowadays, it's a little easier with the computers, but even if you've got the computers, you don't know everything. And that's where the buyer broker really helps, is to lead people to your property. That's what you want, the best exposure possible.
There you go.
We always love having Ron Shalhot here, and we'll be right back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, no.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn, on 63rd, just west of Meridian, at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue, just north of Hefner Road. Casa Perico, smoking hot deal. What's our smoking hot deal, Becky?
Well, we told you last week we were going to highlight On Golden Pond.
On Golden Pond.
Do you guys remember that movie? It had loons in it, which this one also has had some loons in it.
No, I've been called loony, but I don't know about loons.
Loony. Well, I'm teasing. I mean, this is a good friend of mine whose house is for sale. And it is on 2 acres, a little over 2 acres, and it's right in Norman. I mean, it's off of Highway 9 and Highway 62. So but the cool part about this is it's Newcastle Schools. You can't get much hotter than Newcastle Schools.
Great property. If this is ringing a bell for you, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. You can take a virtual tour. And I believe Joe is holding an open house there and on this coming Sunday.
And I'll give you the address. It's 3051 Golden Pond Drive. It's a 2,400 square feet. It's big. It's got an extra two-car garage. So there's like a four-car garage, an oversized two-car garage that's detached. So if you're liking that and you've got about $480,000, you should – go look at that.
It's great acreage.
And where are you holding?
Yep,
one
so I'm holding. Or you can come visit me if you're looking for a home around Lake Hefner. It is just south of Stars and Stripes Park, right off of Portland Avenue on Northwest 71st from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to go back to Ron Shalhot because we're talking about the big NAR settlement that is in progress.
First off, I want to know, is Henry Fonda going to be at the Golden Pond?
I know. And who was the other one? Catherine Hepburn, was that?
Yep.
Was it Catherine Hepburn? Okay. Yeah, in the rowboat out on the pond. So
great movie.
Yeah,
great
it movie. Is a great movie.
Tearjerker.
So, Ron, with this big class action settlement that is coming close to an end, at least we're told it is, what's really going to change in the real estate market?
Well, it's for the NAR, not for everybody. I mean, there's still some out there. But what it will do is it will stop the requirement on the MLS to have that buyer-broker percentage promised out there. Will that impact it? It could, because if you are a buyer, how are you going to find a broker that would represent you? There's no guarantee that there's going to be any money in it for someone to spend all their time trying to find you a property. And I know you guys get a list of everything that everybody wants and tries to match them with what the inventory is out there. And you guys have access to things that the rest of us don't have on listings.
Well, and the reason that sellers typically have been paying the full commission is because sellers typically have equity in their home. Buyers would have a harder time. I mean, buyers are needing down payment assistance many times. Yeah. So how are they going to pay a real estate broker on top of that?
Well, and there's some thought that it will bring the seller's cost down by reducing the amount of commission that they're going to be paying since they're not paying both sides. Will it really, or will it just put more money into the listing brokers, the seller brokers' pocket? That remains yet to be seen as to what's going to happen. Now, if you're a buyer, you may be required to actually hire a broker and pay them a down payment yourself, $1,000 or whatever. But then again, too, what's the incentive for that broker to find nicer, higher-end properties if they're not really going to see any benefit to it? You know, many of them, not like you guys. I mean, you guys are very ethical, but there can be a lot of brokers out there who, hey, you pay me $1,000, I'll find you a house, and it won't be very much, and you're going to be paying them, and you're not guaranteed you're going to get the house.
Well, and Ron, now on the legal front, if the, let's just say the seller only offers $100 to the buyer's broker, well, that's not going to cover the expense of the gas that the buyer's broker is going to have driving to different properties. But a savvy real estate agent could have the buyer make an offer to the seller based on paying the buyer's broker.
You could do that, or it could be a situation where you would put that in as an additional cost on buying the house. You're paying $300,000 for a house. Now you're going to be paying, $310,000 for the house. The $10,000 will go to your broker, which would be based on down payment, what you borrow, things of that nature, which could be more difficult because it's harder to put that into the loan amount these days.
Well, there's a lot to that settlement, and like Ron said, it's not ratified by the court yet.
Not ratified yet, and will it really change much in the future, year or two from now? It's questionable because there's always ways to look at different things.
Okay. Well, we thank you for coming in.
And we thank you, listener, for being with us right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Have a great week.
May the Lord always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.